Well, I put a box of books, a box down here with the tract on top of it. And Pastor McConnell was sitting right there. He nabbed one because that was related to his sermon. And as I said, "You're stealing my sermon." He said, "Well, you stole mine, so I'm stealing yours." And so we still have, yay, thousands of these. We got them printed with our name, church name and everything in it. A short version of Mr. Eternity, the bigger version read through this afternoon. If you haven't read it, it's worth reading. It encourages you. And what it tells me, God can use anybody. God used Arthur Stace, a drunkard, things that had happened in his life and family, his mum and dad, brothels, and drunk. That just incredible how the Lord saved him and used him all to the glory of who? God. That's what it's about. When you look at his life and how he got saved and then how he got surrendered, and he was listening to the preaching, and maybe I should read some of it, but listening to the preaching of the evangelist that I got saved under, when he, the evangelist, John Ridley, was preaching at Uncle Wallace's church. And that was 48 years ago. And that 58 years ago, sorry. And he was very convicting and convincing. I remember that. I don't remember looking at him, but I can see his face here in the picture. But just writing eternity, just writing eternity, miraculously able to write it. And how some people try to cheat him out of it and went around following him, putting E in front of it and other letters in front of it, trying to make a mock of it. But Arthur Stace tricked him. But who remembers Brother Rex Beaver? Yeah? Where did he used to sit? There. That's right. Yeah, Brother Rex. And he was in the Burton Street Baptist Church when they were there. And he was telling me about Mrs. Eternity. That's Arthur Stace's wife that he married at 57 years old. That Arthur was. Arthur Stace, who wrote Eternity. And Brother Rex said, "You dare not go into Mrs. Eternity's kitchen." She was lord and master there, or boss. She was the boss. You know, go into her kitchen in Burton Street Baptist. But that, I remember that. And Brother Rex, when we said goodbye to him up at... Where did he go fishing, brother? Up
Jindabyne,
yeah. We went visit him up there. He was standing in the unit. He was living under his son's house. And we said, "This is it. We're not going to see each other again until heaven." And we both knew that. He didn't have long, and he didn't. He died. But these people move on into eternity. And who remembers the year 2000 when that was on the bridge? And we go, "What?" You know. And it was appropriate time, was it? 2000, a millennium. Remember the talk of the time? The millennial bug and all of the computers are going to crash and everyone's getting frightened. It didn't happen. And actually, Brendan Davies was put onto work all that day and night as a technician in those sort of things, that if it did, he was there to try and keep things fixed up, but didn't happen. So, but people were thinking about eternity. And it said that on the bridge, you know, it was New Zealand and those out there got their first fireworks in, but then Australia, as the new day, well, the evening went, and the next day come after the midnight, and it said that the one from Australia dominated everywhere around the world, in every country. And everybody was reminded about what? Eternity. And the Lord does wonderful things. We're going to speak a little bit about eternity tonight. This is a start, and Lord willing, we'll finish it next Sunday evening. I considered going back into 1 Corinthians, we're in chapter 8, but I thought we'll leave that because after that there's a few weeks where I won't be, so we'll try to get into it, in Lord willing, in about a month's time, back to chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. But here we are in the word of the Lord tonight, eternity. the first time that this is mentioned, where God introduced to man eternity. Now, I'm sure he spoke about it to Adam and Eve, and, you know, wouldn't it be a surprise? If you were created by the hand of God, blink, who's standing there? When Adam got created, who was there before him? God. That's the first person he saw. There was no one else to see. And that would have been... And Adam would have had his intellect going. Everything was up and running. You know, he didn't need to go to kindergarten. He was given that and knowledge, I think, right from the start, and started talking with God. That's incredible. You know, who am I? Where do I come from? And things of that. But shouldn't we ask the same questions today of ourselves? Why are we here? What are we doing? And all the things about, is this all there is in the world? There's a lot, but is this all there is? Is this the few years? And we look out, you know, 100 is a high one to set. The Bible sets 70 and 80 if you're pretty healthy. A lot of people are doing that, getting to 80. But in the Word of God, it is mentioned there, as I said, in Genesis 9:16, and the world has corrupted this, has it not? Because you look at this, where the reference to longevity and eternity is mentioned, chapter 9 verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I'll look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting. Now you can look up everlasting, forever, and other things for eternity. Everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And how man has corrupted that. How Satan has caused man to corrupt one of the greatest blessings and promises of God. That for all eternity it's not going to happen like this again. Another flood. There might be some local floods. There might be some local floods here. There's Michael McDowell said he heard the fellow in charge of the water, the rivers and things, making an assurance to the people of Albury that all is well and the dams were worse last year than this year. I thought, no, it's not like this year. Dams are full. Dartmouth wasn't full. We went up there last year and this year. And they're all concerned about that flooding. And I was talking to a man at club here who brought his child along, and he's saying, yes, back in my time the river rose so before the Dartmouth Dam was in that it came up, it went through the airport, over the airport and up toward North Street, and that's where it went around. And he said it could easily happen this year because they've lost control. They've only got a little bit of airspace in the Hume Weir. They've got to let it go if it keeps raining. But here's a promise. God's not going to flood the world, but there might be local ones, and the everlasting promise of God. God is an everlasting God. Psalm 96. As we look at Psalm 96 there. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. That's our task. Tell people of the God of eternity. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Let's do that, folks. We know the God of eternity. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. That's what we're here for. To the God of eternity, let's give him glory. Give him the glory, in verse 8, that's due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him all the earth. There's some psalms you read and you just want to sing it, but you haven't got a tune. Maybe we should pray that some people... And some of these words, as you read them, you've sung them in parts of hymns. The Lord reigneth. Say unto the nations, the Lord reigneth. In Psalm 92, just back a bit, 90 and verse 2, it says this: before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, eternity, thou art God. Did he come into existence in a point of time? No, he has always existed. Will he always exist? Yes. We started in time. We had no idea. Our grandparents didn't know that we'd be coming along. They might have thought we might have grandchildren or our great-grandparents. You know, you can think of them. James and Louisa were their name. I hung around down Glen Rowan. I had no idea. I had no idea. I wasn't. Neither were you. You think of it, that at a point in time, we came into existence through birth. What a privilege. What a heritage we have that we were born. An opportunity. Then to live for what? And every person that's ever born will live for, no, ever conceived, will live for eternity. And the purpose is that we might know him, be born again, and be in heaven for eternity. And God has not created hell for people. Created it for who? The devil and his angels. Yes, Psalm 145 and verse 13. And I started looking, there's just so much about God, about why we're here, about eternity, about everlasting, about eternity in the scriptures, because our God is the God of eternity. Psalm 145 verse 13 says, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The second time I found this is, we've just jumped around a bit in some of the mentions of it, but the second time was God's everlasting promise to the people of Israel. And that's given, and it's given to Abraham, and it's given in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7, where it reads, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting, and the second time it's used, covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Does God keep his promises? Who did he give it to? Israel. For all those liberal churches, those apostate churches, those silly preachers that don't go to the word to believe, that's what it said. Don't twist it and rest it to your own destruction. He's given it as an everlasting covenant. It's going to happen. And I will give thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a sojourner, all the lands of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And it's good to be able to talk to a Jewish person that's not a believer and say, you can go right back to Genesis 15 or 17 and other chapters where these promises are given to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and say, this is your heritage. God said it and he will keep it. And he's a promise-keeping God. In Isaiah 57 verse 15 it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabiteth, what? Eternity. A phrase you get your mind around that one, inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He said, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also who is of what? Contrite and a humble spirit. And that reminds me of Mr. Eternity and the accounts of what happened in the larger text of this one. It's got a lot of other instances where the police caught him doing it. Writing Mr. Eternity. What are you doing defacing the footpath? It was mostly at night time. And he told them what he was doing. And they said, okay. And they walked off and let him keep writing and doing the graffiti on the footpath of Mr. Eternity. And it said there's a bell in Sydney somewhere. They don't know how Mr. Eternity got up there, but Eternity still can be seen in the chalk on the bell because it's in protected area, but they don't know how he got onto the bell. Because they're swinging free. I think it might have been town hall. He inhabited eternity, and God used a humble and a contrite one, one who realized he was nothing, and we all need to come to that point. We are nobodies but for God. And he humbly submitted in salvation. Let's turn to Isaiah. This is why we're only going to cover maybe 2 points this evening, but introducing it, all these verses, Isaiah 40 and verse 28. It reads there, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." It doesn't say eternity. Well, it says everlasting, but it, you know, this is God. Hast you not known? Don't you realize? You know, scientists today, don't you realize there is a God that you're going to answer to? As you look out in space with the James Hubble telescope and see out there, I like what they said, it's really confusing them. Now that they can see so far, that's not what we thought. And we're going to have to change our perspective on everything. And one said, the universe is not going boom and bang out, it's coming in. And they, well, what's going on? We have to rethink all this. Yeah? Go back to the Bible, and it'll save you a lot of time. In all your looking and searching, you'll find God. God who made all these things. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Folks, awake that God is. In Isaiah 26 and verse 4, it says this. 26 verse 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God is everlasting strength." Trust in him. He's the one that gives everlasting strength. The Psalm 103 and verse 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." Praise God that he mercifully allows us, and even sinners who curse his name, they continue until death. Pray they repent, but from everlasting to everlasting, his mercy endureth upon those who fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. It's great to be able to hand a heritage down of faith in the Lord Jesus to the children's children. That's grandchildren, isn't it? And even further, to great-grandchildren. I praise God for the people that left over there in Prussia and came out here and for spiritual reasons to escape the government of the day, and they're murdering Christians. They come out here and we have liberty, we have a heritage. Praise God for people who told us about the everlasting God. Psalm 103 and Psalm 100, just back a bit, and verse 5, it says this, "For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth unto all generations." They can deny it. That still exists. It still goes on. And if you were asked to explain eternity to a person, what would you say? Where would you go in the Bible? As a Christian, what would you think? Explain to me eternity. Tell me, is it in the Bible? I mean, we've looked at those verses. But where would your mind go? What verse of Scripture might you... Oh, I know. It mightn't even use the word eternity or everlasting, but it's referred to there in those passages. For God so loved the world that he gave, you know, eternal life to those that believe. Another one in John. John 14. I think brother referred to that this morning. Verses 1 to 6 there, the verse behind the last one of that, those references. John chapter 3 and verse, well, many of them in John chapter 3 verse 36 of John, it reads, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him, but he will live everlasting." That's depart. It's not annihilation, not the SDA say, it's eternal punishment. It's everlasting life, but in hell. Christians, everlasting life in heaven, in the bliss and glory, and in the presence of all those that have gone before us. Yesterday, there was going through people that were there, there was, I think, three original members still at the church, so that means they're 50 years older than they were when the church got started down at Wesburn. But they said many of the folk have gone. Many of them have gone where? To eternity. Others have moved to other places, but some have gone to be with the Lord, absent from the body and present with the God of eternity and with all those who have gone before us. In John 6 and verse 40 it says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." We're reminded of that in the adult Sunday school class this morning. Verse 47 of John 6, "And verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." We will live forever. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word. May the thought of eternity, of everlasting, never-ending life be upon our hearts and minds as we look around and look at the faces of men and women and family and friends, workmates, Lord, that these are beings that are going to live for eternity. May we be moved for their salvation and have compassion on them, for they know not the God of eternity. And they will not go into the presence of all those that live in eternity in the bliss of heaven, but into the horrors of hell. Oh Lord, I pray that we'd be convicted about this. This is urgent. And Lord, this is necessary. Go into all the world and tell them that they need to prepare for eternity, because it's so important. Bless the word now to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a few points. The prospect of eternity. And I've written down here Psalm 8. Psalm 8. The prospect of it. In verses 4 and 5 it reads, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honour." Why did God even continue to think upon us? Because he created us and loves us and wants us to be with him for eternity. And when the final word is said and done in the last chapters of Revelation, "And God shall dwell among them and shall be their God." That's what God's plan is, and God's plan has always been. That's why he created us, that we would fellowship with him for eternity. Free willing agents choosing to follow the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in him. And 1 Peter, over in the New Testament, we have reference there in verses 8 to 13. The prospect of eternity is for all that are born into this world. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. And we read, "Who having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not," we haven't seen with our eyes the God of eternity, "yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." The prospect is wonderful. We're reminded this morning, receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. What is this period of time that the Bible is hinting at in the Old Testament? They searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of God who was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. They read Isaiah 53. They read in Zechariah. They read the prophet. The prophets who wrote it was, what is this about? Psalm 22. Psalm 69. What is this about? Who is this about? "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us," Christians, believers in the day of grace, "they did minister the things that are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." We have the privilege of being in that day. These people looked for this. They wondered what it was about. They could have faith like Abraham and believe and go, but what is this talking about? This business of the Lord suffering and dying, the Messiah, for our sins. We know what it's about. "Gird up the loins of your mind," Peter said, "and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that shall be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And in Sunday school, we're reminded about that. the wonderful things. As they concluded there, they pleaded with people. There's tears in one of those guys' eyes, I believe, when he said that we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows, he's there now, and the other chap being interviewed knows he's there now too. Not the interviewer, both of them have passed away. They've met God. Their soul and spirit is there, their real being. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Scattered throughout the scripture are these thoughts, the prospect of eternity, the prophets look forward to it, the psalmist wrote about it, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, it reads, "He hath made everything beautiful in its time." Talking of God. "Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." Let's go back a bit. He's making everything beautiful in its time. Just wait. Just wait. And we will realize the reality of that phrase. And, you know, he can take an Arthur Stace, a drunkard, a person who was in the First World War, a stretcher bearer, a drunk, and he can make it beautiful in his time. Arthur Stace had no idea, after he died, that the eternity would be on the bridge in Sydney in the whole world. And they say 3 billion people saw that. He had no idea when he started writing that. You see how God works in time? He makes it beautiful in his time. And that reality would be, and people would be reminded and challenged all over the world through something so simple. A bit of chalk on the concrete, Melbourne, mostly Sydney, and little towns around about. That God would use that testimony. "Also, he has set the world in their heart." And when you read that, you think, yeah, we love the world. Love not the world. It says in the scripture. The things that, you know, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's not what it's saying here. That's what we get if we just surface read. "He has set the world in our heart." You know that world? If you go to your Strong's Concordance and look up 5769, that number, in the Hebrew section, and it's got that word "world" there is everlasting, forever, eternity, from of old, ancient, lasting, perpetual, evermore, ever, always. That's what that word is there. So let's read it. "He also had set eternity in their heart." You know what? That's got what God has done for every human being. Why do we have hospitals? Why do we go to the doctor when we're sick? We want to be fixed up. We don't want to die. We don't want to die. Because eternity is in our hearts. We save up for our retirement. We spend the time and keep ourselves alive as long as we can. And one sermon long ago, I preached, is, you know, how much would you pay for another day? Well, people pay a high price for another day. People are paying to have their bodies set in nitrogen, isn't it, or something, you know, so you don't go off and keep you in a barrel, and so that when they find the way to fix people and not die and bring you back to life, it's amazing things that are frozen that have been brought back to life. Now, this frozen in nitrogen, I don't know, we don't need that, do we? Christians, we know what's, but the world has eternity in their heart. People have that in their heart. And when that word went up, you know, people, yeah, they click with it. I want to live forever. I want to live forever. And scientists are trying, and everybody, the politicians would particularly love to live forever, to bring down their laws on people. Others like to live forever for different reasons. But God has set eternity in our heart, so that no man can find out the work of that God maketh from beginning to the end. But as long as we've got time, and that's what we've found today, scientists have found a lot of things and discovering a lot of things, and continually, you know, what's making us tick? What's making us die? Why are our cells growing old? Why do they stop working like they used to? And They're looking into this all the time. Why? Because we've got eternity in our hearts. If you go to verse 20 and 21 of the same chapter, Ecclesiastes, it says, all go to one place. All are of the dust. That's where we get it for the funerals and other places. Dust to dust and ashes to ashes. And all turn to dust again. You say, is that all I'm worth? Just dust? That's where we come from. That's where we go back to. The body, but not the soul and spirit, who comes from God. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? And the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth. Ours goes upward. God will take care of us for eternity. And in Psalm 48, it reads this, in verse 14, for this God is our God forever, from and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death. Is he your guide? Is he your God? And as I was thinking of this, I thought of Psalm 73, where Asaph was looking around and seeing all the prosperity of the wicked, and he said, grieve me, why aren't I as prosperous as they? And they don't care about God, they don't think about God, and they just live for themselves. Their eyes stand out with fatness, you might say. And when I thought on these things, in verse 16, he said, it was just too painful for me. The righteous people suffer, the godly people have all these troubles upon them. You know, we've got a devil that's working against us. Why have we got troubles? Because of that. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end, said Asaph. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down to destruction. This is when he went to church. He went to church and he heard the preaching of the word. He said, I was stupid to think that, and to be envious of the wicked who were prosperous. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dreamer, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image of the unsaved, of the unrepentant. Thus my soul was grieved, and I pricked in my heart. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. Fancy thinking like that. I'm thinking like an animal, because their soul goes downward. But I need to think like a human being made in the image of God as I go to the temple of God. So foolish was I and ignorant. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast held me by thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to where? To glory, it says. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart fail, but my God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou destroyest all those who go a-whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. Folks, that's what we should be doing. The prospect of eternity is for us as human beings, not for the animals. It's for people only. The right perspective of eternity there we ought to have. And back in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9 it says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. You know, you just live it up. But no, in that time, and remember this, but know thou that for all these things that you do and get up to, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove from thyself. It says in next chapter, verse 1, remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. Let's get a right perspective. And young people, if you're listening or here tonight, get a right perspective as early as you can in life of God and of eternity and of reality of facing him that day. And this is what it says in here. Remember the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Anyone here tonight about there? Oh, you know, another day, got to get up, slowly getting out of bed, and creaking and getting onto the wheelchair and the walking stick. Who's got a walking stick? We won't talk about that. We're going to get there. Are we ready for it? Remember when you're younger that that's going to come. I have no pleasure in them. I don't know, for some, I remember my brother-in-law Joe, who was there yesterday. I was talking to him, and he's talking about Brother McConnell and all things that, down there at Westburn. And he said, because he's a few years ahead of me, and he said, oh, 50, I hit the wall. He's 72, I think, now. And if I look at him, I'm glad to be that healthy. He's still going strong, retired, but enjoying it. And he's talking to Brother Lee there. And I said, you don't know him and you don't know him, but I know you both. You'll get on well. Just off they went. And they were going at it, talking about the Lord and just praising the Lord. And Joe saying, oh, I studied this and I was looking at this. And Lee was coming back with something he'd been looking into. And it was about the Lord and about spiritual things. And it was good to hear him. I just walked away. And they kept on going. But remember the Lord in your young years. Don't mess up in your young years, because it's going to cost you later. You might die early. You might die of some diseases you catch. And don't get to the point, I have no pleasure in the days anymore. I said to Dad a couple of weeks ago, I said, my brother Colin said, you're shuffling. I'm not shuffling. He is. You just get there. You can't help it. You lift your feet. You're going to trip over things. And when I see people, older people, going out of the church with a walking stick, I don't know. If you're listening in, older people, and you've got a walking stick, don't walk down there and turn around and talking to me with a walking stick, because I can just see it. I can see it one day and I'm ready to run and grab or lie under. Look where you're going. I said, turn around, keep going straight, look where you're going, because you're at that stage when really there's no pleasure in life, but there is pleasure in thinking about what? Eternity. You know, the right perspective, get it when you're young. Keep it and maintain it throughout your life on the way. And Mark 8, 35 to 38. Concludes with, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, because he had a wrong perspective of eternity. Colossians chapter 3 tells us in verses 1 to 4, set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. Get it into perspective. Have the right perspective of eternity. And the earlier I say, the better. And we're out of time. And the next time we meet, Lord willing, is the preparations for eternity. As Amos said, prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. And as we were reminded this morning, one day we'll be there. Be here like Adam woke up. There's God. We will wake up on the resurrection morning. There's God. Joe asked the question yesterday. He was talking about that, you know. It was put to him, what's the first thing you're going to say to God when you get there?
Where's Adam?
Where's Adam? I want to beat him up. No. Think about it. That's what Joe, he put it to Lee. What are you going to say? Because he was asking someone, Joe had been asking during the week, someone last Sunday, what are you going to say to God? Because Joe said he thinks he's got it worked out. He thinks, we don't know. And I think he said he's going to fall down at his feet. Fall down at his feet and honour and praise him, the God of eternity. There's thousands of them out in a box. And as my cousin's been saying lately, he said to my sister, what are they doing in a box? Don't store them up. Get them out. Put them out. People need to know about eternity, don't they? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray that as we think about eternity, and as Mr. Eternities is known, Brother Arthur Stace heard that sermon from the other Australian evangelist, eternity. Prepare for eternity. Lord, may we all prepare for eternity just as he did, and do go about our Father's business and be ready at any moment to meet our Lord and our God as we slip out into eternity. Bless now as we go our way this week, and may we be doing exactly what you want us to do, testifying for you, for we ask in Jesus' name.